Hi friends, welcome to my weekly teaching videos. Hey, in a moment I'm going to jump into week three of my teaching, all from my new book, The Promise. I've been talking for a few weeks about living from the promises of God and how to build a life based foundationally on the promises of God. Really great teaching. And this week I'm going to be talking about what happens when our faith fails, when we believe for something and it doesn't seem to happen. I know you've had this. We all have, but we can learn from it and move through it and move into a place of victory, I believe. Good. Let me do a 30-second announcement. You can time me starting now. Hey, real quick, if you're not familiar with my ministry, check out the links below. Lots of things going on. Probably the best way of keeping in touch is my email newsletter, link below. Again, if you don't yet have a copy, thank you for everybody who's bought this. We have sold thousands of these already. The Promise by Graham Jones. I have an offer. You can get this for $3 on Kindle just this week, or a paperback Dead Tree version. And lastly, if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've stumbled across this video, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to start a relationship with Jesus. Drop me a line or a prayer request in the comments below, and I promise you I will get back to you. Good. Boom. Well, hey guys, welcome to day four. You are having a great week. And I've been teaching all week long about how to overcome challenges to our faith. What to do when our faith gets tested. And again, I've been saying all week long that your faith will be tested. If somebody's told you, if you have faith, you'll never have a trial, your faith will never be tested in any way, they're selling you a bill of goods. They're not preaching the Bible, the Word of God. And, James at the beginning of his epistle, James chapter 1, James says, count it all joy when your faith is tested, when you fall into temptations, testings, and trials. He speaks about the trying of your faith working patience. So you have faith. Your faith gets put on trial. The result of that should be patience that brings you to a place. James says the goal of a trial of your faith is that you're perfect or complete or mature, lacking nothing. That's where God wants you to live. And yet so many people on that journey from hearing the promise to being mature, complete, perfect, lacking nothing, they sink. The ship of the faith sinks. And I'm interested in helping people not do that. So what I want to speak about briefly with you today, I want to talk about the battle between hope and faith. God's promises, I love the word promise. It's so filled with promise. Let us follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Promises give you hope, but promises should also give you faith. In a way, it's like promise is an axiomatic word that's connected both with faith and both with hope. And God wants us to have Bible hope. Hope relates to the future. When I have hope, I'm looking at some time in the future. That might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 years, it might be 50 years, it might be all eternity. We have a hope, the blessed hope, the return of Jesus. We have an eternal hope of living with God. And yet, we hope for what we don't have right now. Let me read a passage in Romans 4 that speaks to this. Romans 4:17 says, as I have written, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, in the presence of him in whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, that he might become the father of many nations, of whom it was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider, notice that word consider, his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded or fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. There is so much in that passage, I know. But I want you to see this. God comes and gives Abraham, not a book, but a promise. Abraham gets a promise from God. Okay, good. What happens then? Abraham's looking at the future of his life. Abraham naturally looks and says, wow, one day, sometime in the future, I will have a child. I will be a father. Sarah will have the baby she's always wanted to have. This will happen tomorrow. This will happen next year. This will happen someday, but not now. And that promise has given birth to hope, and hope is great. Hope is glorious. It's really great to have hope. And yet it's not enough to have hope. What faith does, faith reaches for the unrealities, for the promises of hope, and pulls them into the here and now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith takes hope and brings it right now into the present. And there's something about faith that literally, faith has to grab a hold onto something. I remember hearing years ago about a guy who taught me so much about faith from the UK. Say, this chap, this minister, once he went to visit the home of somebody who was dying of cancer. This person is literally like on the deathbed, on the last day probably they were going to live. And, you know, this poor wife was exhausted. She hadn't slept for days. And this brother said to the wife, hey, just go and take a rest. Go and lay down somewhere and get some sleep. And he went in to pray for this man who was dying of cancer. And he said he went into this room and literally there's just death all over the room. You know, you could smell the cancer. The man just looked like a skeleton with skin on top of it, gray. And he's struggling to breathe. And this guy said, I tried to pray for him, but I realized my faith wasn't there. Now, there's a real key. There's several keys I want you to catch from this story. But number one, here's what he said he did. He said he turned his back on the man, on the body, on the cancer, on the skeletal, you know, the physical appearance of the guy. He turned his back on it and he began fellowshipping with the Lord, loving the Lord, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Yeah, the more you fellowship with the Lord, the bigger God gets in your estimation, in your heart. The more you look at the problem, the bigger the problem gets. And he began worshiping the Lord until, listen to my words here, until God was a bigger influence on his faith than that man's cancer was. And he said it took him about an hour of just worship and praise to get to the place where now the Lord was the primary influence in his heart. And at that moment, he reached out, he prayed, he cursed the cancer, told it to die, and then believed he had received what he was praying for. Believe we receive when we pray, not when we see it, not when we feel it, not when it arrives in the mail. We believe we receive when we pray. And again, he's now got the healing in his heart. It's like he's got it here. His job is to hold it. So he began walking around the room again, thanking the Lord that the man was now healed, praising and thanking God that it had happened. And suddenly the man stopped breathing. And he said he knew the man stopped breathing because you could hear this labored breath and then suddenly nothing. And the man stopped breathing. And at that moment, he said he had a choice. Do I believe what I've received in my faith, he's healed, or do I believe the evidence of my body, he's dead? Not breathing is fatal. The man had probably died. And he's like, you know, Abraham was like that. Abraham's got the promise of God, one day, the father of many nations. But then he's got this, look at my body, look at Sarah's body. This is not going to happen. And our faith, when we're on trial, usually our faith, what's happening is we've got these two witnesses in the courtroom of our trial. One is saying, it is written. The other is saying, forget it. It'll never work. It's not God's timing, not God's will. It won't happen this time. You don't have it. Blah, 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 blah. A million things that Satan will say to you and lie to you about. Here's what my friend did. Again, he turned his back on the man and began praising God with everything he had that the man was healed. He refused to accept the results of his eyes and ears and accepted the results of his faith. Hallelujah. He began praising and worshiping God. And he said, after about a minute, the man began breathing again. Now he's filled with even more praise, walking up and down, thanking the Lord, this man is healed. This happened three times where the guy stopped breathing and he's faced with, do I accept this or do I just keep holding on to what I've got? I won't let go. of what I've got. And every time he wouldn't let go. And he said, it's like every time the enemy tried to take out this man, he got pushed further into his faith. And I want you to see that there's something great about our faith being put on trial, because that's the moment we clarify what we actually really do believe. And it's like he said, every time the man stopped breathing, I became more fully persuaded, more convinced, more this, you know, absolutely sure this is true. And long story short, the third time the man started breathing but regained consciousness, and I won't gross you out with the details, but he literally started passing the cancerous tumors out of his body and was completely healed. And in the morning, the man, you know, gave him some breakfast and presented him to his wife, completely healed. This man lived for many years after that. Glory to God. But I want you to catch something in that. Real quick, I'm going to finish with this, but James speaks about a double-minded man. James 1, 7 and 8 speaks about when we're in that trial of our faith, our faith can be like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And James says a double-minded man will not receive from God. He's unstable in all of his ways and will not receive from God. What does it mean to be double-minded? You know, in that story, my friend could have been double-minded. God says he's healed. The lack of breathing says he's dead. Abraham could have been double-minded. God says you're a father of many nations. His body says, forget it, you're an old man, you're married to an old woman, you'll never have a child. And all of us at times will be in that place of double-mindedness. What I want you to catch is this. There's nothing wrong, per se, with being double-minded. What's wrong is staying double-minded. What's wrong is parking there. How did Abraham get out of double-mindedness? He considered not his body, but he considered the promises of God. And he grew strong in faith by giving glory to God. That's called worship and praise. And we grow strong. We get out of double-mindedness. There's nothing wrong in being double-minded. Maybe you're 50-50. 50% the word, 50% the evidence. Great. Just keep, the more you'll praise and consider what God said, 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10, and you'll become fully persuaded. Selah. Guys, we'll be back with more on this next week. Thank you for watching. Well, thank you, friends, for watching all the way to the end. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you've got a prayer request or a comment, put them in the comments below. Lots of things going on in my ministry, churches in New England, my traveling ministry. Again, too many things to mention here. I really would encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below. And let me remind you, you can pick up a copy of this book on Amazon. We have an offer on Kindle right now, or you can get the paperback version. Thank you for watching, guys, and I'll see you real soon. Hit the subscribe button if you are on YouTube. Bye for now.